Here we go again. It's just the news, according to me. Good Thursday morning to you. It's May 19th, 2021 at 6:31 and a half a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday. It's a Thursday. I'm home in my little home studio here. And I'm all wired up today. It's going to be an interesting show, actually. An interesting program, an interesting podcast, an interesting whatever this thing is. I don't know what it is because I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not all that stuff. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not just a guy with a microphone, a bunch of opinions, and you can do with it what you want to. I don't care. It's all on you. I defer. This is just entertainment. That's all this is. I don't know if it even qualifies for that, but that's what it is. I am happy Thursday morning to you. It's good to be home. I don't know if you can tell, there's a little more spring in my, well, I'm not stepping, I'm talking, a little more spring in my talk. Glad it's good to be home. I got home yesterday, trying to get on a flight, a little earlier flight than normal. And then I didn't think I was going to be able to get on because they were weight restricted because these little airplanes that fly around don't, it's like they didn't make them to, you know, everything's smaller. You know, and yet the people are sent the same size. People in bags stay the same size and they still have to have fuel to get. So when the weather's not good in a particular place you're going, they have to have what's called an alternate. And they have to add on fuel for that alternate. Well, that makes them heavier, and they can't take as many people. So I was able to get a direct flight from Atlanta to South Bend last night. Yesterday, I should say. Yesterday afternoon. Instead of having to go through Chicago, which would have gotten me in about 11 o'clock, I ended up getting into South Bend about 5:30, which that's always a good thing, too. It's just, you know, six more hours on the road. Just it never makes, you know. It just makes it feel like you've lost a whole day. I wouldn't be up this morning. Let's just put it that way. I wouldn't be up at this hour. I've already been up, had my breakfast, had the dogs, you know, out doing their thing. There's some kind of noise in the background. I don't know what it is. I still have my old studio set up here. I have not yet set up the new facility yet. I have to get this thing moved in to the basement. This box I bought, it's an audio sound box thing. It's actually one of those old boxes that they used to, they throw you in, slam the door shut. It's like being in a refrigerator. And they test your hearing. Well, in this particular case, I found one of those. I bought one of those. They're expensive boxes. If you could just go out and buy one, it's brand new. They're not cheap. They're in the thousands of dollars. Let's just say this. Let's just put it this way. I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for it, but just to buy the little, I want to buy an old, like an appliance moving dolly type thing, you know, those little two-wheel carts, hand trucks. Some people call them a hand truck. I want to buy one of those just to move the thing so I can get it in the house because I got to get it up over a little ledge thing. It gets kind of. Thing weighs about 400 pounds, and at least that's with the door off. And I'm looking for a dolly. Well, let's just say the dolly. I can't find a dolly that's less expensive than what I paid for the box. It seems a little bit weird, but I guess I can keep using the dolly. So there's been several times I've needed one of those, and I haven't had one. So maybe it's just worth just picking one up, I guess. Something I'll probably use a few times a year. So I can't really just say it's just for that thing and I'm going to throw it away. I'll probably misplace it. Excuse me. And I'll probably misplace it and have to buy another one at some point. And then I'll have two. I won't be able to find either one of those. And somebody will want to borrow it, and I won't let them because I don't want to dig it out of where it's at. This is the way my life goes. Well, I went from happy, chipper, fun Kevin to Eeyore there just real quick, didn't I? That doesn't take me very long to do that. I'm a little cynical about life these days, I guess. So I guess the older I get, crankier I get. I'm turning into a cranky old man, which is what I was looking forward to in old age. I was looking forward to being the cranky old man who goes off to a nursing home and just enjoys causing trouble, being the cantankerous one that causes trouble. That's how I will enjoy the rest of my life that way, just making it difficult on people around me. That's what I'm kind of hoping for. Then I'll sit back and laugh. Of course, then they'll probably spit in my food. That's kind of the cycle of life, I guess. So we have a couple things going on. This one thing is real interesting. I just heard this morning. This is put out by Euronews. Now I guess I need to hook up my phone to this thing, don't I? You're gonna be able to hear my phone, it's gotta be hooked up. So maybe I should do this. I should have, taken some time to prepare for this show, which I don't know why I would choose to do that today. I don't ever do it any other day. I need Bluetooth here. Bluetooth. Need to connect that. Where'd it go? I need to connect this device right here. Push this button. Now we're connected. Now you can hear what's on my phone. Let's see what we've got going on here. This is, I'm really wired about a couple things this morning. I've kind of had an epiphany last night about some things, and there's some other things going on, but so here's this is George W. He's 75 years old. He's given a speech. He's a few years older than me. I hope I'm still getting around as good as he is. I'm 75. He's doing pretty good. He makes a statement here it's either an admission to something, or he's kind of, in a way, he's kind of realizing that maybe he shouldn't have done something. I don't know. It's kind of a self-confession thing in a sense, but it's also, I want you to listen very carefully to what he says at the beginning of this whole thing, because we're going to break it down a little bit and see what he has to say about it. He's talking about Putin here, and let's see what he has to say.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia, and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
Yeah, he's trying to be a comedian. It's funny. That's funny, George. How many people died in Iraq? How many of our soldiers died in Iraq? How many of our children? I don't think it's funny at all. We have the beginning of this. I don't know what the context was of what he's saying. I think he's contrasting this to the way elections are here in the United States, but listen very carefully to what he has to say here, because he's trying to contrast the way things are in Russia and the way they are here. Listen very carefully to a few things that he says here.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged.
Russian elections are rigged. So they're not rigged here. Russian elections aren't rigged here. Are they, Dinesh D'Souza? 2,000 mules.
Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process.
Gee, I wonder, the electoral process, that they're trying to eliminate Donald Trump from being able to run again. They're imprisoning people indefinitely because they're political opponents. They're actually opponents of this system that we have that's not democratic at all. I've noticed recently that there is a, nobody ever calls the Democrat Party the Democrat Party anymore. It's the Democratic Party. I'm running on the Democratic ticket. It's Democratic, Democratic. Everything's Democratic. Their name is not, the, it's not the, the DNC is the Democrat National Committee. Not the Democratic National Committee. This is a slight change, but I guarantee you that it's intentional by somebody. Because we always talk about the democratic process. We always talk about democratic socialism. They want to be the democratic because democracy. Before you know it, they'll be calling themselves the flag-wrapped democracy party. The true American democratic process party. And yet they're the furthest thing from it. Those of you who are involved in this stuff, involved in this whole January 6th commission, if any of you are ever listening to this, I want you to realize who you're putting yourself in the pocket with. Did you hear what George Bush just said? Their political opponents are eliminated from becoming, from running for office. They're imprisoned. What you're doing is the same spirit of what the Soviet Union does with their political opponents. Adam Kinzinger and Cheney should be ashamed of themselves, along with everybody else on that committee. You know, I don't even mind them having a January 6th investigation, but when you take away people like Jim, when Jim Jordan, and I think Senator Lee, stepped up to be on that committee, and they just boot him off. No, we're going to take a couple other people. We're going to handpick some people. We're going to pick Cheney and Kinzinger because we know they're in our camp. We're not going to pick these people who are going to ask tough questions and find out. We don't want to let them know any kind of inside information. We have an agenda here. We have an agenda that we have to push through for over the next year as we do this, keep this going until the election, because we're hoping to get at least a little bit of a pry bar, a little bit of a foothold here and slam and malign the president. In the meantime, we're being told all kinds of ridiculous things by this administration. Some very high up people now are turning on this current occupier of the White House. It's very interesting to see and listen to the things that are going on. Elon Musk is kind of the tip of the spear in this thing. He's saying some things. He said that he's always overwhelmingly voted for. He doesn't think he's ever voted for a Republican. He's always overwhelmingly voted for Democrats and probably independents. And he seems like the kind of guy who would just vote his conscience and vote for he probably votes third party a lot. But at the same time, he's fed up with this whole thing. He just realizes they're out of control. These people are nuts. They're insane. And he's seriously considering voting Republican. And he's making comments. what's amazing here is the response he gets when he makes these comments about, you know, he said it's kind of like Anchorman. He said, if anybody just changes something on the teleprompter, Joe just says it. He's the perfect puppet candidate, basically. That's what he's saying. He's just somebody reading a teleprompter is all he is. And people are agreeing with him. I mean, this is, he's on a show. I don't know if he's on late night TV or whatever he's on. He's... Speaking of Elon, of course, the whole issue with him right now, he just launched a whole bunch more satellites, but a whole lot more stuff going on in the background here with all of his businesses. But the one thing that's up in the front page news is the Twitter deal. Now, apparently, there's some concern. If you didn't know this going in, this is where I kind of wonder if I don't know. If he had to have known this. The number of actual people on Twitter, real people on Twitter, is apparently not nearly what they thought it was. Now, see, when you have bots on Twitter, you the whole reason for owning Twitter is because of the advertisement value it has. It has marketing value. That's where these people are making their money. They're selling advertising on Twitter to the tune of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars every day, probably. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Because supposedly you're getting your name, your advertising is going out in front of all these, you know, let's say that they claim that they have a billion followers or a billion people on their platform. And you can reach X number of people, or you can set it up to certain demographics that certain people are going to get, see your advertisements. So they do this. You know, that's how they're selling. They can say, well, we can reach, you know, 42 million people with your demographic, with your particular ad. And so we're going to do that. And then that's going to cost you, you know, $1 million. So what is that? All of a sudden you find out that a bunch of those individuals are bots. They're not real. They're phony memberships. And all of a sudden, you know, you're paying basically because you're paying advertising and you have only, you know, you might be getting your ad out in front of 42 million people, but then you find out that only 30 million of those are actually real people. Well, that's kind of a ripoff. I would say there's some lawsuits involved in that. Now, you know there's going to be a certain percentage of people that probably aren't real on there. There's an estimate right now that of all the followers of Joe Biden, this isn't just coming from Fox News. This is coming from some independent sources. Supposedly unbiased sources. I don't know. They're saying it's very unlikely that even half of Joe Biden's followers on Twitter are actual people. It's been known for quite some time that the White House, especially during the Obama days, had a huge number of social media bots. In other words, people that fake followers to make it look like they were more popular than they were. It's the political theater of this whole thing. I was listening to BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, the other day. He has an open source news, the real BCP, whatever, .com, I think it's his website. But he's got a YouTube channel, Black Conservative Patriot. He was making, you know, kind of pointing out, you know, Joe Biden gets on TV and, the most popular president we've ever had, the person with the most votes ever. Landslide, supposedly victory. And he gets on to do a special announcement or a special speech of some sort. Important speech on something, you know, the hot topic of the day. And he has like 1,800 views in 12 hours or whatever it was. BCP will get on live at night at about midnight to do a late night show or at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not exactly prime time and he'll have a couple thousand viewers watching him live. And within the next 12 hours, he's got tens of thousands of views. And there is not one, there's not 81 million people who know who BCP is in this country, I guarantee you. There's probably 81 million people who've never heard of him before. And yet he's, you know, he's Mr. Popular. You know, last night there's two other things that are really bugging me right now. I'm just going to pass them off on you so they can bug you too. That's how this works. That's how I roll. I like to pass off the stuff that bothers me should be bothering you too. So that's what I'm going to give you the opportunity to be irritated. So it's part of my ministry in life, I think. It's a gifting I have. Pass off my grumbling and complaining on somebody else. And then I'll walk away fine because I've vented now, so I'm fine. So now you can grumble and complain. But the biggest thing, and I know this is important, because what I know that most of you out there are probably irritated already right now. You're just on edge because I haven't said one word yet about my cup and what's in it. And they're probably bugging the daylights out of most of you. I have a cup here. It says, "I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong." And then on the inside the cup, it's like a coffee cup here. And that's inside the cup is a cup of chai, vanilla chai with French vanilla creamer in it. Yeah, I just felt like I needed a creamy day. Last night I had a cup of chai after I got home. After supper, I had cheese and crackers for supper. Because I had a big lunch. I had probably one of the worst lunches you can ever eat. You know what pigs in a blanket are? Well, if you've ever been to Auntie M Pretzels, it's kind of like, what's the other pretzel place that's kind of popular? Uncle Ben's Pretzels. It's kind of like that. It's this little bitty kiosk type place in the airport. And you go in there and they have these big cups and they're full of mini hot dogs wrapped with a pretzel, the pretzel breading. I bought a cup of those. There's probably 10 of them in there. And they're just a little bit more than a bite size. But it's one of those kind of things that if you try to take a bite, try to bite it in half, you can't really bite it in. It's like it comes apart and then the hot dog spits out and it's like you can't keep it together. You can't hold it together while you're, come on, hold it together there, buddy. Tighten up, as they say. I had this. I couldn't. I just had to eat, had to put the whole thing in my mouth because it was a lot less sloppy that way. So you stuff that thing in your mouth and then you wallow it around for a while trying to chew because it's got this. Get your mouth full of this thing, and you wash it down with some sweet tea. All I had was juice. All I had was V8 Fusion. So I washed it down with that. Well, then, so after eating a whole cup of those for lunch, actually a late lunch, I just wasn't that hungry in the evening. I was still kind of on my stomach. I probably still is probably now. That's just kind of feel like a brick is laying there. So I ate that and I got home and I had this cup of chai. The mistake I made was putting in some of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch creamer. And it just isn't, I have to say, it just isn't my favorite. It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like it should be good. But it has kind of this, it's not really I don't really think it's cinnamony. It's some other kind of spice that I just don't like. It just has a weird taste to it. And it makes it taste too much like coffee, in my opinion. They've got this weird toffee kind of coffee flavored creamer stuff. I don't know what it is, but this is very creamy. Slides right down. It's very smooth. Calms my nerves. Anyway. And I got this little backup jar here. I got Mott's 100% Apple Mango. which unfortunately, this stuff is really sweet. It's like a little bitty thing. It's only, how many ounces is this thing? It's not even very many. Yeah, it's only 8 ounces. It's just a little bottle. But it's kind of candy flavored. It's just very sweet. I like it. It's good. It's just a little bit sweet. But, and for me, that's saying a lot. Like, I typically like stuff sweet. Couple things that are going on. That's my sponsors. That's my news from my sponsor right there. There you go. That's as much of a sponsor as you're going to get. So this show is nonstop info from start to finish. So you're going to have, it's got to be spread out kind of like you don't have enough jam when you're trying to spread out jam on your, or jelly on your toast, and you got not quite enough. They gave you one of those little packets that's not quite as big as the bread. So you're trying to spread it out there as much as you can. And so the information spread kind of thin on this show, but it's, at least it covers the entire show. There's nothing in between. There's no empty spots, no gaps. Because there's no advertisers, because who would pay money to advertise on this program? I digress. sorry, I've got a button here that I can push so that I can clear my throat. See how much better that is? I pushed the button, cleared my throat, and it came back. And you never even knew. So I have an interesting... I just have an interesting attitude, I guess, about this thing with MSNBC and Tucker Carlson. In fact, right underneath this video that I have here of George Bush stating these stupid things, basically calling out the United States system right now, what the Democrats are doing, there is MSNBC, you got a picture of Tucker there. It says, Tucker Carlson reeling after peddling conspiracy theory cited by the New York Mass something. I don't know what that's even all about. Let's see if I can find this here. Mass shooting. They're claiming something about Fox News's. Let's see. Fox News's ownership is under fire for implying a racist conspiracy theory linked to the shooting. Ari Melber is joined by Jones. They never replace the replacement theory thing. Apparently, that's part of it. This is where they're going with this. I see what they're doing now. They're touting this idea that the people on the right, Fox News, especially Tucker Carlson, he's been saying this for a long time, is saying that they're pushing replacement replacement theory. Here's what it is. Chuck Schumer, they got audio of all of these people, all these pundits, all of these people from the right, from the left, stating for so long now that they want to replace the demographic. Even Joe Biden has said this. And here's what really, it's just, the way these people think, it turns my stomach when I hear them say things like this. Joe Biden said something about, by 2025 or 2035, whatever. It doesn't matter when it is. He's saying that less than half of the people in the country will be from white European stock. We're not cattle, okay? Don't call us stock. But this is the way these people think. And that turns my stomach. If he would have said African American stock, there would have been an outrage. But you can call white European stock, get away with that. But he shouldn't be able to get away with that. And in my opinion, it turns my stomach worse. Because it just shows you the inside of what this guy thinks. And he can get away with it with that. He can't get away with it when he calls a black person that. But he's thinking that. Just the fact that he's thinking that about any particular group of people is sickening. These people are sick in the head. They have this, everything for these people is about race and identity politics. It's about the group. You're a faceless individual that belongs to a group. Because they can manipulate groups. They can pit one group against another. You have no identity, so you just have to belong to a group so that you feel like you belong to something. People have this strange fear of standing up as an individual and just being themselves. Right now, there's this trend, and here's what always gets me. This is always so hilarious. I see these people with all these tattoos all over the place. Now, it's really getting weird out there, folks. I see people with tattoos all over their legs and arms. The legs thing is really weird to me, like all over your legs, up on your thighs, all over the place. This is in the airport yesterday. I can't even count how the number. It's it doesn't bother me really. It's like whatever you want to do is it's your business. But do you realize that you think you're being unique and expressing yourself, and you look around, you see everybody else being unique and expressing themselves in the same way? It's almost as if now being unique just means not joining along with the crowd, doing everything else, being the lemming walking off the bridge. I just don't understand. This has gone on for years, folks. People will follow along with a trend, thinking that they're out there on the cutting edge, being unique. And all they're doing is following the trend. Now, you understand, this has always been going on. So it's not just tattoos. It's the whole trans thing and the whole sexual identity thing now is a big deal. You may not believe me now, but there are some pockets in some areas in the country, and this will spread, especially out on the West Coast. If you are a straight individual, well, that's just boring. And you're almost looked down upon. It's almost as if you're homophobic just for being straight. That's not normal. You're just weird. You must be homophobic. You must be a bigot. There's no question that at the end times, think right will be wrong, wrong will be right, up will be down, down will be up, whatever. Huh, I just saw this really weird thing just happened here. For some reason, my phone was recording everything I was saying, and it put it on a text thing and almost sent it. That was really bizarre. That was very strange. Yeah. So my phone's not listening to me or anything. Don't worry. It's not listening. That was creepy, folks. That was really creepy. That was really wild. It dinged like it was getting done with a recording, like it was done with speech to text kind of thing. Looked over there and it had filled out the entire, everything I had said for the last couple paragraphs of what I said. Now, that's interesting. No, there's no conspiracy. No, nothing to see here. Move along. Just tweak that chip in that they planted in your head. So I have this is one thing that bothers me, is this whole thing. Now, so they're talking about replacement theory. They're calling it a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory. Well, it's a theory about a conspiracy. And he has video and audio evidence of this theory, kind of making it more of a conspiracy fact than a theory. See, the idea of calling something a conspiracy theory supposedly discredits it. It's a conspiracy theory. It makes it wacky. Well, no, it's just there's a theory about a conspiracy that could pretend. Conspiracies are real things. People conspire to do things all the time. They conspire to go after Trump, especially, or to discredit ultra-MAGA crowd, for one thing. All right, so you got these people who are saying this kind of stuff, and Schumer has come out and said that the demographic is changing. The Republican Party will never win another election because the demographics are changing and it's minorities that are going to be overwhelmingly taking over the country. And all the minorities, of course, all minorities vote Democrat. Not Democratic, they vote Democrat. They're not Republican. It's only white old men that are, now keep in mind, these are white old men telling you this. These are white old men at the top of the piggy pile, in the power, holding the reins of power, telling us that all the Democrats are going to win. Schumer, head of the Senate right now, is a white old man. President, white old man. But it's the Republicans you have to worry about. All those white old men. So that's what they'd have you to believe. What they don't want you to realize and what they're scared to death of is even though these people are coming across the border, they think that those are going to be automatic voters. Oh, these are all going to be Democrat voters because we're letting them in. We're going to let them in and they're going to vote for us. We're going to keep us in power forever. Republicans are going to go away. The problem that they're having here is that they're realizing that their agenda along with their people, you know, are paying attention here to what's going on. They're seeing this radical, crazy agenda, and they're saying, "You know what? We're not voting Democrat anymore. We're going to give the Republicans a chance. The last four years, they had things seem to be going pretty good. These people are driving us into the dirt. At the end of the day, it's not about I'm going to vote Democrat because they're all about." Abortion is their main topic, obviously. So we got to vote for that. I may not agree with that too far, but I got to vote for that. That's their sacred right. They've called it that, by the way. It's a sacred right. It's sacred. Their temple of democracy over there on the hill. Part of their catechism, I guess, or whatever. So they have this going on. And they're just expecting, they just think that they own these people. Somehow the minorities are beholden to the Democrat Party. They take them for granted. Well, they're not going to be taken for granted for long. They're realizing, hey, gas prices, this is hurting people who live paycheck to paycheck. And you know who lives more paycheck to paycheck than anybody else? Poor people. People who live paycheck to paycheck. And all those people, regardless of what color they are feeling this. Now, there are some snooty, I know of some snooty people on the left. Snooty. And they're not just white people. There's some of them are black, too. There's some of them are minorities. There are some rich, snooty people of all colors. The ones I know I grew up with, most of those are some white snooty leftists that think that they know it all. They travel around the country and travel around the world, all the while touting the fact that they own an electric vehicle. And higher gas prices will just help to push people to electric vehicles. See, I have an electric vehicle. I don't worry about the gas prices. Well, guess what? Guess what, buddy? You know the taxes that are in that gas? You know the taxes that they make on charging the oil companies taxes for selling their products? You know how much they get in taxes for petroleum stuff? And you know how much money flows back into the coffers from all these petroleum? Guess what's going to happen when they shut down all the oil companies and there's no more gas being produced and no more oil? They're gonna go, well, we still have to get our money from somewhere. You know what they're doing now? They're already trying to implant this into people. Pete Buttigieg is already, he's thinking ahead. No, he's no dummy. He may be stupid, but he's no dummy. Well, he might be dumb, but he is, you know. He's not stupid. I don't know how that goes. He's dumb and stupid. Anyway, I'll just say it. There you go. He says some of the most ridiculous things. If he was in the Trump administration, they'd be running him out on a rail. But of course he's the you know, they'd love to see him be president. So he says all this like roads are racist. Well, the way they put these roads in here, it's racist. It divides communities. They're trying to divide the black and white community. So we're going to build a road going over the top of everything, so that way nobody can get on the road and nobody can go anywhere. And it's just ridiculous. So, but Pete Buttigieg's answer to all this is to tax you for every mile you drive, rather than taxing you for the gallon of gas you buy. Well, they're going to keep doing that too. But they're going to tax you for every mile you drive. Now, see, he's forethinking here. I have to hand it to the guy. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to see people are going to start putting these little trackers on your car to track how many miles you drive so they can charge you by the mile. Because if you start charging your car up at night in your house every night, well, they can't charge a tax on that. There's no road tax. There's no wheel tax on that. They're not getting any tax revenue from all these electric cars driving around. They're like, oh, whoops. We forgot about that. So how are we going to give people subsidies to buy electric cars? And on top of that, we're pulling the rug out from under ourselves. And all of a sudden, we don't have this revenue coming in. That's gonna be kind of bad. So how are we going to give that $40 billion to Ukraine when we don't have the money coming in? Oh, yeah, we didn't have that anyway, so we'll just keep printing money out. It's ridiculous stuff. Anyway, people are starting to notice this kind of stuff, and they're starting to recognize, hey, it's hitting me in the pocketbook here. It used to cost me $200 for a week of groceries for my little family here, me and my wife. Now it's costing me $400. It used to cost me $30 to fill up the tank on my gas, a tank of gas in my car, or at least, you know, top it off. And now it's $60. People start feeling that kind of thing. Now, the people who have the money, you know, they're complaining about it. They're grumbling and complaining, but they have the money to pay for it. They're going to keep paying for it. They might curb the way they, you know, instead of taking two trips a day to the store, they might just take one. They might think about where else they're going to go when they're out. People who are living paycheck to paycheck, who can only afford one tank of gas a week, are not going to go anywhere. Of course, now, the other thing that this does, you have to realize, don't forget, we became a consumer, much more of a consumer, a delivery economy during the shutdown when everybody was sheltered in place, like as if we're going to hold out from the virus. We're going to have to stay inside. We can't even go outside because the virus is going to get you. It's out there floating around. Like there was a storm coming. So people were, you know, shut in. So they would order stuff from Amazon. Amazon exploded during the whole COVID thing. Well, now if you can't afford to go out and drive around shopping, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sit at home. You're going to order your toilet paper online. Everybody's still offering free delivery. Now, the hidden cost there is that the price of every product is going to go up a little bit because now they have to ship it to you. And it might be more efficient to do it that way, so you're not going to notice it as much, because realistically, you can, let's say I order all my stuff and then my neighbor orders all their stuff. Well, the truck comes by, and rather than me and my neighbor and everybody else in my neighborhood going down to the store and coming back again, we have one truck coming through and delivering all those products. It actually is more efficient, so it's not as expensive. However, the store downtown is going out of business. And guess who works there? People in my neighborhood. Well, they don't need them anymore. You see how this works? This whole artificial economy that we're tinkering with. I said this back during the first part, the very first week of the shutdown. It was a week after, I think it was like March, the end of March, I think it was, in 2020. And they were talking shutdown. I was having a conversation with a few of my friends in an airport. And I said, you know, the supply chain is built over years and years of consumption and production and delivery and all these things. It's a very delicate organism, basically. We didn't just start it up. It happened over the course of time. Now, there are some things that a couple of weeks of shutdown might have kind of reset and given people enough time to kind of revamp some things and restructure and get going again so they could have been up and running again, which kind of happened in some ways. But then when you started throwing in things like, oh, guess what? We're going to shut off some oil contracts. We are no longer energy independent anymore, folks. No matter what they say about, well, the oil companies could just go out there and drill. Well, no, the oil companies are raising prices. It's the oil companies that are hoarding. It's the families that are hoarding, formula for their babies. They're out there hoarding. It's their fault. It's not the government's fault for shutting down a producer that produces 40% of the baby formula. It's not their fault. It's not the fault of the government policies that shut down our energy independence within the first 30 days of going into office. I won't talk about that. It's not his fault. Besides, if we drive up the price of gas, more people will buy electric cars. How are you supposed to afford to buy an electric car? So you got these snooty people out there who think that this is a good thing. Because, hey, well, this is going to drive up the price of gas. Obama was on record saying this several times when gas prices went up during his administration. Actually, the last time we had gas in the $4 range was in the Obama administration. And he thought it was a good thing.
Well, this is going to, you know, try to help us get us off. The higher the price of gas, then the more people are going to look for other alternatives.
Well, that's great. Why don't we just let the technology catch up with where we're at, and that way it won't cost so much, and consumers can continue on. We can produce our way into a carbonless society, if that's what it needs to be. I don't buy the whole carbon thing, folks. I do not buy the carbon emissions thing. Water vapor is a greater greenhouse gas than carbon is. In fact, there's some scientists who will tell you that the carbon increase in the atmosphere goes up as the heat goes up, not the other way around. Carbon doesn't cause the heat. Carbon goes up with the heat. Now, the temperature of the earth, we don't know what's normal. We don't know what kind of a cycle we're in here, because over thousands of years, temperatures have changed dramatically. Even in just the course of recorded history, Greenland and Iceland, for example, Greenland was green when they discovered it. It's ice now. It's covered in ice. And they're all worried about it melting. Well, it wasn't that long ago. Iceland, I don't even think Iceland is covered with ice anymore. I think it was the other way around. we can't, you can't go through this stuff and think that, well, the way it is right now is the way it should always be. And every day our weather should never change. It should be the same. It should be all, you know, this constant, everything should be normal. Speaking of truth, apparently this Nina whatever her name is, I guess she resigned. And they're shutting down this whole Ministry of Truth thing or whatever they're doing. The DHS, they put it on hold. That's what they've said. I'm surprised that Kamala hasn't resigned. I'm guess something's got to happen here. I don't think that they're going to want Kamala stepping into the SCOTUS position here. I'm sorry, the POTUS position, President of the United States. I don't think the powers that be, the strings that are behind the whole thing here, I don't think that they want Kamala in there. Now maybe they do. I mean, they obviously wanted Joe in there. But they're going to work together on working together so they can get together and work together on being together, to discover the root causes that we can work together, the root causes. And, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Anyway, there's just some wackos on the left. Now, along with the whole Tucker Carlson thing, there was another point I wanted to make. It's the Durham trial. I'll end on this note. I still have yet to decide on where I stand on this whole Durham thing. And the reason is I just don't trust this level of law enforcement, I guess, if you want to call it that, if it's any enforcement at all. It's just a show. I do believe, in my opinion, I think that Durham has at least an ounce of integrity. I think he's got some integrity. I think he wants to execute a proper investigation. Now, at the end of the day, Durham doesn't decide who gets indicted and who gets prosecuted or what happens in the process of prosecution. It's ultimately still going to be a judge. It's still ultimately going to be other people who are making those decisions in terms of punishment, in terms of whether or not the person is actually convicted. And there's some weird stuff going on behind the scenes in this whole thing. One of the things, I can't remember which trial it was. It had something to do with the FBI. Now, there's also this other thing with the FBI. I need to look this up because I still have yet to understand. Apparently, somebody who was involved with the FBI, who was an informant with the FBI. Here's maybe this is a story about it. This is on Reliable News Now. I just got it in front of me here. So let me just see what they say real quick. Hopefully this won't play a video. Yeah. I don't see. There's nothing. I clicked on the link and there's nothing here. Isn't that nice? That's kind of odd. Okay, that's great. I love it when they do that. Let's get rid of this. Let's see. It doesn't say anything about it. FBI was used as a political tool by the left. Apparently, I don't understand exactly what happened here. And of course, you click on it, it just goes to this thing about COVID. There's nothing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it on here anywhere. This is just, that's frustrating. Anyway, there's something about this FBI agent apparently that was somebody who was an informant who was also a lawyer, I guess, and something. And rather than turning things over to the FBI, they turned them over to another lawyer to give to the FBI. Something kind of weird deal there, I guess. And that guy got fired. And I'm not sure exactly what all is going on there. However, in the midst of this whole thing with the whole Durham thing, apparently the judge involved in this is his wife whose brother, there's some kind of relative involved in this whole thing that is married to, or is a brother to Lisa Page, who was Peter Strzok's mistress. Is there anybody else outside of Washington who has anything to do with Washington? I mean, is it all just one big clan over there? They're all inbred. I don't understand how in a country this size, we have people who are all related. I think it was Jim Comey's daughter that was the prosecuting attorney on one of these big cases recently. Was it this? I don't think it was Smollett. What was it? It was something else. I can't remember what it was. Isn't that a little odd to you? Is there nobody else that wants to step into these roles? It's just all in the family up there. It's just bizarre to me that things are that connected. But, you know, there's no conspiracy. That's just a conspiracy theory. I'm just a wacko. There's some interesting things happening in the world. And by the way, with this whole formula thing, just so happens, Bill Gates and a few other high-dollar individuals, some of the richest people in the world, for the last few years, have been investing in artificial baby formula. In fact, I think Bill Gates just stepped into it a couple of years ago when this whole COVID thing started. And then they shut down. The FDA steps in and shuts down one of the largest producers of baby formula last year. And all of a sudden now we have a shortage. And we don't know what to do about it. Now, one particular individual did make a good comment. I think this may have been Crenshaw, which he's a rhino. Crenshaw's establishment, 100%. Crenshaw stepped in and said something about, though don't complain about sending $40 billion to Ukraine. He said that has nothing to do with baby formula. Even if we had $40 billion, we still wouldn't have baby formula. How does sending $40 billion to Ukraine help the baby formula issue? You do realize it's going to cause baby formula to rise in price because the shortage is still there. And by the way, the value of your dollar just went down because this is going to cause just more inflation. More spending causes more inflation. Of course, I don't care what Nancy Pelosi says. No, she said, because the jobs are expanding. So that's what she's trying to keep her teeth in. That's what makes inflation go up when we have more jobs. No, Nancy, everything she said was everything we had 2 years ago with low unemployment. Jobs out the wazoo. Everybody was working and making more money than they'd made before. Wages were going up across the board, every demographic. We did not have inflation. I mean, it was less than the normal average. Less than 2%. And now they're saying that because we have all these jobs out there, that's why we have inflation. They're blaming the worker. Because these people are insane. And that's the way it was. May 19th, 2022. 2022. I think I'm going to I'm going to go ahead and just stop the show because I will keep going with this stuff because there is no end to it. It is it's a wacky world, folks. When you start digging into this stuff, you just have to. And I think that a lot of these pundits on the left actually believe what's coming out of their mouth. Lawrence O'Donnell could not possibly believe the crap that's coming out of his mouth. Rachel Maddow, of all people, the stuff that she's... Does she actually believe even half the stuff that comes out of her mouth? She's got to know she's just being sensational and stuff. I don't know. Anyway. I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth. It just comes out. I have a drool cup. That's what the team seems to have. That helps a lot. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Keep praying for our nation. Take care. Thanks for listening.